It is said that in order to learn what the future holds, we have to study the here and now. Well, that's true. My next guest, I think, is just too impatient for that, probably because he has a plane to catch to one of his many worldwide appearances. His mental abilities, which he's demonstrated for decades on TV, radio, and live performances, allows him to see what lies ahead as well as what is resting in your mind. His accuracy is well known, so I thought instead of the pollsters and the pundits, this would be kind of a unique way to talk about what just might be waiting to happen on Election Day this Tuesday. Along with being a mentalist, well-known guide to the mind, he is also a successful author. His latest book is In Real Time. We welcome to the show the amazing Kreskin. Good day, sir.
How are you, Chris? How are you today? It's a great time of the year, and the weather is kind of, of course, it can be changing from hour to hour, as we know, with the mood that Mother Nature has. I often wonder if Mother Nature sees a psychiatrist from, and that's a bad joke. I mean, that is not the best that joke. But I have, it has been, as every people know who followed my career, the Halloween period, which of course has just ended, has always been a hectic time of the year for me because I go out of my way to kind of celebrate what has become, Chris, and it is remarkable now, the second biggest holiday in the United States, second only to Christmas, you know?
Yeah, not just for candy sales either, the participation, because it's something the kids, adults can do, they do as families
right.
And individuals. So it's
there's one, as I travel, there's one major difference you see in Halloween in recent years, which is sad because, and it's great to see that kids are now trailing down streets in New York on Halloween. When I had a very special event, we saw crowds of, grade school kids walking down the street with their teachers. I guess they go into stores and other affairs during the day, and that's true even here in New Jersey where they pick up candies and so forth. But you don't see what was the great joy of Halloween is the kids, including yours truly, going out trick-or-treating till late at night. We went out with big bags, and at 9 o'clock the bags were full. I came back home. My mom and dad gave us another bag, and we went out again to the smallest streets. But the United States is not the safe nighttime place for children to play as it once was, which is a very, very – but it's not safe for police either. So if police – who are the most protectors of our safety, are not safe, then I can understand parents being concerned. But I miss those days. I came back from Canada on, Friday, and Saturday appeared with a special show at the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City. The beautiful theater there that's, it seats around 500. So, but they were sold out. And at the end of the show, I held a seance, which they wanted because they saw a clip of it when I did it on the Jimmy Fallon show. And the Jimmy Fallon did it on his show a year ago because he had remembered my doing it years and years ago on the Carson show. Carson was so overwhelmed with it that they repeated the show 1 week later. And that's when people sat at tables and as they did at the Golden Nugget and sat there quietly, resting their hands on the tables to keep them still, and four to a table, and the table started rocking and moving and shifting around, and one table on stage flipped over and broke at the Nugget. So Halloween Day, which was last Monday, the Daily Mail, a newspaper syndicate, brought me into New York to a restaurant called Wild Buffalo Wings, because they found a beautiful room that was emptied out of buyers and eaters and what have you. They set aside for banquets, and some 30-some people, including press, came there. And we had another table-tilting seance there that they put onto the Internet. And as of Halloween night, they called me and said, "You're not going to believe what happened." It turns out they got people looking in on it, some over 55,000 people.
Oh.
So it was really remarkable. So Halloween is, as you can hear, Chris, has been kind of special for me.
Yeah, it is. Certainly, well, it's your wheelhouse, as we like to say in the game of baseball. That's
that's interesting because along around that same time, did we not have after one century a certain team making a comeback and winning the World Series?
Yep, with the general manager who was the same guy who got the Boston Red Sox back onto the World Championship map. So Theo Epstein, pretty much, he can go home now. He's done all he needs to do in baseball.
That's all he needs to do. I have to tell you, you hit the nail on the head. It's a cause célèbre, and you know, I think, and by the way, I think it was a refreshing change of pace because, you know, as we've discussed before, and I think people are absolutely weary now of the elections. I mean, is it true that it's only a few more days or is it two more months? You have to help me because I'm not sure anymore. It's just, if you know, to hit the headlines and to get stories done, they're going to have to dig more into people's private lives because there's not many more issues to talk about. And you know, and I've been in out of the country, and out of the country, people say to me, I got it, and I quote me, you folks listening can quote me, they say, Kreskin, aren't there any other people in the United States that could be running for office other than the two that are? That's not the most positive. But in the rest of the world, including Canada, our campaign this time, they say, sounds like a three-ring circus. Isn't that offending the circuses, though, Chris? Don't you think that would be an insult to the circuses?
Well, if not to the circus, at least to the clowns.
Ah, I love it. Chris, I am going to quote you. I got to tell in my audiences that I was talking to you on the radio, and I said, wouldn't that be an insult to the circuses? Chris says, no. But if anything, it would be an insult to the clowns. I like that. By the way, Chris, a story has broken, which I am going to investigate further, and I'm going to certainly make an attempt to contact the family because, as I have mentioned, maybe it's not since we spoke in September, but my point of the matter is, with our being told more and more in our culture that the more guns there are, the safer we are, and that sounds almost like a business sales pitch, but that's what we're told. Then I announced that I was planning to return my house rifle to the local police here in town because who are the biggest victims we're hearing about right now but police?
Yes.
Police are being shot. But what is interesting and hits very much home to me is in Alaska, he died just a couple of days ago, but a law enforcement gentleman was with the Fairbanks police. He was a police sergeant, his name was Alan Brandt, and he was shot five times and has died. But this meets more of interest to me in my personal work and my public activities and commentary. Earlier in the day, this young man he had a pastime that he loved to do, and that particular day he was with his four kids and his wife on their bed reading them stories. He loved to do that, and Brandt told us in a meeting, that a public meeting that took place a few hours later, but after the story he said, and I'll give you the exact quotes, "I think I'm going to get shot tonight. I'm in the middle of a gun battle. That's all I could think about." His family said nothing. His wife said absolutely nothing to him. She couldn't figure out. And they kind of put it in passing and what have you. And then not longer after that, he was at some public affair or something. And he mentioned that was on his mind. And don't you know, a few hours later, he's called in on some situation where he has to investigate. And he was shot five times and has died. But that's tragic because his chest injuries were sustained and they were not able to save him. But what is interesting is that he had a premonition of this. And you hear this. We've all read books. We've had family members who've had it. Even people who have not shown particularly unique abilities, paranormal abilities, and so forth. Many families can recount incidents where a member suddenly out of nowhere sensed a crisis and it happened to some member or some other part of the country and what have you. You understand what I'm talking about, Chris?
I think everyone's nodding their head and saying, I recall Mom, Dad, Aunt Ethel, somebody in their past
yes,
with that experience.
Absolutely. And Chris, and a perfect example here is in New Jersey, the New York Star Ledger, which is, of course, I love the newspaper. They've done so many stories since early in my career. But they told me a story that years ago, a young man was flying home from Germany to surprise his family. He was in the service, but tragically the plane took off and crashed a few minutes later, malfunctioning, what have you. But the editor of the New York Star Ledger said to the reporter, listen, this family is in Elizabeth, and it's the front page of our paper. Why don't you go there ahead of time and prepare them so that they don't not suddenly hand in the newspaper? We don't know if anyone contacted them. So the reporter told me that early that morning, around 7 o'clock, he drove from Newark to Elizabeth. He says, Kreskin, it's a quiet neighborhood. I parked my car. There was no activity around. A lot of people probably were just getting up and getting ready to go to school or work. He says, I walked down the pathway to the house, the number I had, knocked on the door, and when the door opened, there was a lady there in hysterics. She said, you don't have to tell me. I saw my son in flames, and it was early that night, and it was around the time that the accident happened. Wow. Now, something like that, as the reporter said, Kreskin, nobody contacted her. No one even talked to her. And it just stunned me. So there are things in our culture that we don't fully understand. You know what I'm saying?
And with that in mind, we're talking with the amazing Kreskin here on Issues and Ideas. You have become infamous, famous, looked to for predicting and revealing what is in store for us. So with Tuesday being Election Day, are you prepared to announce who you see as the winner for president?
Well, I made a rule that when I made predictions, they have, and this was true of the prediction for the 2012 presidential. In that case, and people can go on my webpage to see it. I delivered a sealed package on the Jimmy Fallon show that NBC put in a safe and not to be opened until a day or two after, because I've had a rule that you make a statement in show business and you're going to be blamed by the people who are not for that person, or if the person wins, and of course I'm not, and I made my decision many months ago. But by the way, on the Jimmy Fallon show, when that prediction was delivered, it was 1.5 years before the election. But in this case, I have held off I've made a decision who I believe is going to win, but I held off because it was such heated controversy. It's a campaign unlike the you and I have ever seen in our lives. But I'm going to, and it's interesting that we're being heard on Sunday, which is the day before Election Day. But you and I need to talk a day or two after Election Day, because the prediction that I've been making is unlike anything I've ever done, in a manner that I've never done before, because I've involved over a dozen other people involved in the making of the prediction, and they have no idea who I predicted. By the way, I've said it to you before, who am I going to personally vote for? I agree with something I said months ago, and now is a common word with a lot of people even in the business, perhaps you even as well. And that is, I'm voting for the person that I believe is going to do the less amount of harm. I tried to pick in my own mind the person, whatever harm they're going to do is less than the other person is going to do. That's not the most positive thing to look at.
But no.
You got to admit, can we make it any more positive, Chris? I don't think so.
Well, let me try this real fast so we can wrap up here.
You
don't want to say who in the here and now.
I can't. Yes.
Can you see how that person will be performing in the job?
Yes, I can. As far as half the things that were promised, I don't think they're going to be able to navigate this. And part of the reason is, and please, folks, don't misunderstand me, the whole web work of the organization around the president and so forth has become so massive now that it isn't the same tighter knit scenario that you had during Kennedy's time and Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Don't misunderstand me. There was Congress and there was Senate, but this is we have a gigantic organization now, and the problem that worries me, and I have to say this because it's now been said by others, is we've depleted our military of some key military leaders that really had been involved in wars. You hear what I'm saying? They were involved in wars. It's nice to bring a woman in that's the head of, this is nothing to be anti-sexist or anything else, but we need people there right now who have had experience in the military area, because when you give a tremendous amount of money to Iran and other cultures, I wonder about this. Should we, Chris, should someone in England have marched, instead of getting a letter from Hitler, do you think it would have made more sense if they went to Hitler and gave him millions of dollars and came back and said to the government in England, well, Hitler decided, he promised he's not going to attack us? Because Hitler did give them a letter, and he lied, and of course, it was no one paid attention to Winston Churchill, and they were bombed and bombed and bombed day after day. So we have given money to dictators. Hell, has any dictator ever changed and suddenly become a holy person, Chris? I'm asking you a naive question.
I can't think of a Satan that's become an angel.
Not anyone, because they do not. Their personalities do not change. And by the way, for God's sakes, folks, let's look at history. When a military dictator starts to collapse, God forbid they follow in the footsteps of Adolf Hitler, one of the most evil persons who ever lived. But when his government around him started to collapse and the military, his soldiers were being entrapped and what have you, what was he doing? Just pay attention. He was blowing up parts of Germany, parts of Berlin, because he wanted to destroy everything around him. A warning. Just a warning.
From a mind who is a student of history and respects history, and when you read Kreskin's latest book in real time, you'll understand the respect in his insight and his knowledge. And when
Chris, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
What I'd like to do is, let's make a point of you and I talking, not the day after election, but a couple days after election, and I think you're going to find fascinating the inside story, because if someone paid $100,000 to a researcher, they would have never figured that I would approach this election in this way. Is that not a cliffhanger, Chris?
As they say, to be continued.
Thanks, Chris.